If I can ask Lisa McElhern from Northern Ireland Council for Voluntary Action to come to the rostrum. Thank you, Lisa.
Afternoon, everybody. I'm really delighted to be able to take up the invitation to join you all this afternoon. In what's becoming a bit of a Labour week for the Northern Ireland Council for Voluntary Action, although I will tell you that the words Labour and week together for a woman as pregnant as me strikes a whole new kind of air. So I'm probably going to call it a Labour themed week. On Tuesday we had the honour of hosting Labour peer Baroness Ruth Lister, who came and addressed our conference that we had on welfare reform. And then on Thursday we had Shadow Secretary of State Vernon Coker, who came to talk to community activists in NICFA and gave us, really, I will also tell you that my baby is lying on my diaphragm, and so if my voice comes out funny, it's not because I'm overwhelmed with breathlessness speaking to you, I'm just breathless. Don't tweet any of that, Alan, by the way. So Vernon Coker came to speak to us on Thursday, and he shared with us some really interesting inside information about what's going on in Westminster, how Northern Ireland is viewed in the corridors of power there, and how the Labour Party and the Labour Party in Northern Ireland is promoting the cause of Northern Ireland, not as a special case, but as having special circumstances when it comes to the impact of the economy here. And when we were explaining to our caretakers in NICFA how important Baroness Lister's visit was, because for people like me who studied social sciences, she was the person I quoted in my A-levels and in my undergraduate degree. And when we were explaining how important her visit was, my colleague Lorraine described her as the Madonna of social policy. And I'll leave it up to you to decide which rock star Vernon Coker you best. I was asked to speak about the voluntary and community sector's role in the economy and job creation. And I'm kind of going to talk to you about two elements of that. The first one is interesting and impressive, and I wanted to share with you how our sector is contributing to the economy. But really what I want to get to is the second point, which is more about what voluntary and community organisations think about the economy and job creation, how we view what's happening at the moment, and how we want to work with any like-minded political activists or political parties, and those who are not like-minded, to take forward the economy in a more equal and just and inclusive way. So, in terms of the sector as an employer, we're quite a big employer in Northern Ireland terms. About 29,000 people are employed in the voluntary and community sector in Northern Ireland, and I see some of them in the room. Mostly women, mostly young people, at least I still fit into one of those categories. Most of the jobs have high social worth because they're located in areas of disadvantage. And if you work in our sector, you tend to have above average package when it comes to family-friendly policies. However, rates of pay in the voluntary and community sector are slightly below the Northern Ireland average, but we hear time and time again that the people who work in our sector choose to do so. I can guarantee you they're not motivated by the salary. It's about other things, passion for a cause, the organisation helped their family in the past, they're motivated by things that motivate you, social change, social justice, in the tree sense, not the Angela Smith sense. So that kind of passion for what they do, and it's almost seen as a compensation for the low salary, although higher salaries would be also very pleasant. Job security in our sector is also an issue. Our funding we receive year on year, it has now become almost standard in our sector that our employees receive redundancy notices January of every year to quit their job in March every year. Funding is almost always found at the 11th hour. That's no way to treat professionals in any sector. And we also have glass ceiling, and we have it's embarrassing, but we have to admit it, when the amount of women who work in the voluntary community sector don't necessarily make it to the top table. Also, the voluntary community sector has a really strong and important role when it comes to labour market intervention. Erskine spoke about social enterprises, and there are about 20,000 people involved in about 1,000 social enterprises right across the north, and they range from small kind of community-based enterprises, world organisation, has kind of tapped into their entrepreneurial spirit to set up a community company to generate their own independent stream of income, right the way through to cooperatives and credit unions. Local enterprise agencies, which are all of which are voluntary organisations, provide about 2 million square feet of workspace in Northern Ireland. And in just one of the programmes that they run, over a four-year period, they created 50,000 jobs. And the voluntary and community sector are also leading the way when it comes to other labour market interventions, often working with the very young people you've just been discussing on literacy and numeracy programmes, working with people in alternative education, working with young people in places of detention who don't scandalously have an automatic right to education in Northern Ireland. Our members work with women and help and encourage them to take jobs in non-traditional industries. We're leading the way when it comes to supported employment for people with disabilities. Often that movement is set up by parents who refuse to accept the fact that weaving baskets is all that's in the future for their children. We provide alternative education, lifelong learning, creative industries and the arts. So yes, we're a big deal when it comes to the economy. Yes, we're a big deal when it comes to creating jobs. And NICFA believes that the voluntary community organisations are an important economic player in more ways than that. And that's what I really want to talk to you about. In the last assembly, news started to filter out of the chamber that the new programme for government was going to be focused on the economy and not on social issues. And I was met by lots of kind of civil servants and politicians going, "Oh, that's trouble for you. Well, you know, your sector's in trouble if we focus on the economy." And my answer was, absolutely not. Actually, voluntary and community sector has an awful lot to say about the economy, because the economy impacts on the people, the communities and the families that our sector engages with every day. So our members are interested in social change, in social justice, proper social justice, in underpinning and deepening peace in Northern Ireland. We're interested in equality, and we're interested in real sustainability. And I guess from that point of view, we've got a lot to say, and we've spent a long time thinking about the development of the economy in Northern Ireland. And I wanted to share some of those thoughts with you this morning and get your opinion on them, if that would be okay, or this afternoon, in fact. We think this is cooperative water. We think that, are there any medical doctors here? Because I would like to hideously misquote the Hippocratic Oath. We think that politicians, political activists like yourselves, and commentators and players in the economy like ourselves could actually take a lot of inspiration from the medical profession when it comes to the approach to the economy. We think that the first rule should be first, do no harm. What's happening in communities and families is very serious at the moment, and at least let's not take decisions that make it worse. And we need to put first, do no harm at the very front of the debate when we're talking about the budget, at the very front of the debate when we're talking about corporation tax, at the very front of the debate when we're talking about welfare reform, and when we come to make planning decisions like building golf courses on the Giant's Causeway, first, do no harm. We want to encourage our executive, and we hope to use the strength in this room to encourage our executive, to think about the impact of their decisions on people, communities and the environment. And first, do no harm. So if we get that in mind as our underlying principle, we think then we need to move quickly to treat the symptoms. People and families and communities need help right now. I don't have to tell people in this room about the impact of the economy, the impact of the global economic meltdown. We knew that when banks were put in front of people, that this would eventually happen. And so we need to think about ways in this place, how the Northern Ireland Assembly, with its limited levers on the economy, can take fast action, can do things differently. Can we do things differently when it comes to implementing welfare reform here? The big looming question is parity. Let's never break parity. But parity is willing to be broken for corporation tax. We think if you can think about breaking it for companies, perhaps you might think about breaking it for people. And it's certainly that theme of Northern Ireland doing things differently when it comes to implementing labour reform was certainly something that both Baroness Lister and Vernon Coker were very strong on when they suggested that Northern Ireland could lead the way when it comes to the devolved nations actually trying to mitigate the worst outcomes of welfare reform on the people and the families and the communities who this is about to impact on, and in fact is already impacting on. We think that using social clauses properly, not in a very narrow sense, but properly investigating how we can use social clauses attached to every single penny of government spend, well, to try and make sure that every single penny of government spend buys the best social and environmental outcomes as possible, as well as the best economic. We think that that is something that the Northern Ireland Executive could do and do now. And thirdly, I suppose if first we're doing no harm, secondly, we're moving quickly to treat the symptoms. Thirdly, we need to make sure that this never happens again. Like all good doctors and patients, we need to take a look at a long-term strategic plan that promotes a healthy economy, that works with the underlying root causes of how we got into this mess in the first place. And we think that that vision needs to be grounded in equality. And Robin mentioned the spirit level and the idea that increasing inequality is bad for everyone, even the people who appear to be prospering. So an economy grounded in equality, grounded in sound sustainability, and grounded in community cohesion, because we're not Manchester, we're not Glasgow, we still administer a deeply divided society, and the elephant in the room is putting a cost on that. I hope that someday I'll be able to stand here and not even mention that. But it is the case, and it's the case right now. The Northern Ireland Economic Strategy, which in NITFA we took very seriously, we met with our members about, we produced what I thought was a thoughtful and thought-provoking response. It's 29 pages long. I was devastated to hear it being described on Good Morning Ulster as wordy. It was wordy, though, to be fair. But we took it very seriously. And what it did do for the first time from our executive was recognise the link between poverty, disadvantage, peace building and prosperity. That was an important change of rhetoric. This kind of acknowledgement by the Northern Ireland Executive, and for some parties it was a big leap, that dealing with all of those social issues is important in the economy. But we still think they've got it the wrong way around. The assumption is that by dealing with the economy, all of those issues will be dealt with. Trickle down doesn't work. Never has done. We think that that needs to be flipped on its head. So the issues are huge. No sector can do it on its own. As political activists in this room, I've seen a lot of nodding, and you would. I feel like kind of talking to the converted in certain ways. But the issues are huge. Can't do it on our own. Our strength is going to lie in solidarity with people like you and with people in other sectors, our colleagues in the trade unions, for example. And there's an Ethiopian proverb that I've been quoting ad nauseum for the last year to try and sum up what I mean by this. And it says that when spiders unite, they can tie down a lion. So I'm hoping very much that the Labour Party in Northern Ireland will join us in our web. So.